I want to talk to you today about something really on my heart. I announced what I was going to be talking about Wednesday night. I want to talk to you about what I hopefully that we've learned through the midst of our trials. Now, I don't know about you, but this has been a hard year. It's been a good year, but it's also been a hard year. How many of you it's been that same way in your life? It's been a hard year, but a good year. What it means is hopefully we've come out with things. The Bible says this light affliction is working a far more exceeding weight of glory. So I believe the affliction of last year is bringing an exceeding weight of glory into our life this year. That's why we're pursuing God's glory. Amen. And so I'm going to talk to you today about a war chest. I want to talk to you today about the war chest. War chest, what it simply says is that in days of old, kings would have a war chest. And it was what the weapons that they used as they prepared, the things that had helped them win before. When they would go into a battle, they'd pull out their chest and they would open that chest up, be a reminder of the things that was used before and a reminder of the victories that were ahead. So it's things that God has shown us that will be used in our future to bring greater victories. It's things that we've used in battle before, but now God wants to use them in our life to bring a greater victory. Don't you let last year's trials be for nothing. You make sure that last year's trials are for something. You make sure that what you walked through this past year, it's meant something. It's changed you. It's done some things. It's worked some things. And you're ready to move on. Amen? Because, listen, you don't want to keep taking that same test again. Right? Amen? You don't want to keep taking that same test again. You want to learn what you were supposed to learn on that test, and you want to move on and to another place in God. And God is seasonal. It will change. Whatever's going on in your life, just hold on, and it will change. Because you can't stop in just a few months. Man, those little buds are going to begin to come out on that tree, and those little things are going to pop out, and leaves are going to begin to form. We can't stop that. Because that's God. Amen? That's the life of God. And that's also the way God works our lives. We can't stop this seasonal change that the Lord is working in us. Now, God has a great war chest. Now, in the Bible, it was called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the wonderful thing about it, in that ark was the three items. And each one of those items meant an area of failure that God was brought into a great victory. And I want you to know, in a lot of our war chest is that same way. It was the manna, and then it was the rod that budded. But they're symbolic of the things in our life that we may have messed up, but they've been covered by the mercy of God. Somebody say, covered by the mercy of God. They've been covered by the mercy of God, and therefore now we have great hope and great covering in the midst of our life. So God just called us to that much higher level of glory, y'all. And we're just going to have to determine that God's going to help us to get up there. God is going to really be able to help us move into that higher degree of His glory. Now, I want to talk to you about the storms that we face. This past year, I'd never known a year like that. I'd never known what it was to have a son having to believe the Lord for him to be able to live on a daily basis. And then last Easter, on that Sunday afternoon, Jimmy, I met with my daughter-in-law, Jennifer, and I talked with her in that prayer garden, and she told me there. She said, "Jerry," she said, "I'm experiencing such difficulty in my mind." I think it was the next day or 2 days later, she tied a rope onto herself and threw in the water. And she was submerged and pulled into that. And only by a miracle of God did she escape that. I mean, this year has been loaded with some trials. Amen. And in the midst of that, to see how the devil would attack a mind and then to fight that and battle that all year. And then to just this past week to send my son away from the church in El Dorado and to believe God for a recovery there. I mean, this has been loaded down. This has been a season. Your life has been going through some of those same upheavals. But I've never, ever faced a year like it was this year. But I'm here to tell you, God is faithful. Amen. God has remained faithful. And God is faithful. On Thanksgiving Day, while I was there, we joined together as a family. On Thanksgiving Day, we determined that we were going to be so thankful that day. We all of us had our little parts that we were going to be thankful for that God had done. And so we gathered in a beautiful day. So we met outside. And that day, I began to pour blood from my body that didn't stop for the next several days. And during that time, they went in, they looked in me, and they said, "Jerry, man, it's a mess." And they determined then to go back in. But then when they went back in, there was nothing there. Amen. You've been a great year of trial. But it's also been a great year of marvelous victory. Can you say amen? All right, I'm going to talk to you about in my war chest, which I believe I've got in your heart in the battles that you've walked through. I'm going to quickly mention to you, if I can, I've only got 18 minutes to do it. But I want to quickly mention seven things that God has put in that war chest that I believe that we can pull out and we can take hold. And this can be a different year with it. Amen? The number one is, I must get a checkup. What I'm talking about that, when something happens immediately in your life, we're immediately to go to God. When you face a storm, you're immediately to go to God. And because you need to know, Lord, did I open the door for this? Is there something that I did that caused this? Or is this just a continuation of a battle? Or is this, do I just need to persevere through this? The Holy Spirit has to be consulted, and you have to get it checked up. You got to get yourself checked up. So the first thing you want to do is to find an altar and get a checkup. Allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you about your life. Because if a door has been opened, then that door has to be closed. And if that door is, sometimes it's just the devil. And God will say, you got to persevere. Because Jesus never did one thing to deserve anything that he ever got. But he fought many, many battles. But then, so that's the first thing, is get a checkup. Find out where it is. And then you've got to learn to operate in faith even over your sin. What that means is this. If you failed, and if you feel like you opened the door, you need to just repent, shut that door. And the very next moment, God stands there with you, and God's on your side. You can't allow your failures to hold you. Because if so, the devil with condemnation will use your failures to cause the devil to be able to destroy you. And what you've got to do immediately, if you open that door, man, I tell you, I do not know how many times that I've went to God over issues. And immediately God say, "Jerry, you opened that door." And I can think of failure with my family, failure with my wife, failure in the churches. I mean, failure in my own personal life. So many times I would go to God. Now, you got a choice, though. When the Lord reveals to you, you can get in the mully grubs and you can just allow condemnation to stay there on you. Or you can realize God's revealed that to you so you can do something about it and get up and get back up. Can you say amen? One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is, "Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. I fall, I shall arise." So if you open the door, you learn to confidence. You have confidence in God. And the Bible says if you confess your sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The very moment you confess your failure, the Lord reveals a failure to you when you open the door in your life. The very moment that you ask God to forgive you, that moment God forgives you. And as far as God, it is forgotten and it's gone. Now, the very next moment, God's not remembering. And the reason God chooses to do that, because he wants to fight for you just as if you've never sinned. And he'll do it in the very next moment. So you've got to allow that to work in your life. It can't be something that, if you're in a battle for your life, you can't allow that to be a battle that drags on for several days. You've got to get up. You've got to move on to another stage and win that battle in the Lord. So if you fail God, don't you stay there. And just repent. Ask God to forgive you. The blood of Jesus, there's nothing that any of us have ever done that's any stronger than the blood of Jesus. Amen. the blood of Jesus is able to take care of it in a moment of time. You don't have to wait till you feel sorry enough. You don't have to wait till you feel the tears coming enough. All you have to do is have confidence in the power of the blood. And the moment you confess your sin, that moment you are forgiven, and the Bible said it cleansed out from you. That cleansing of God takes place. So the very next moment, you may still be asking God to forgive you, but you're asking something God knows nothing about now. From the moment that you ask God to forgive you, and He forgives you, then you keep bringing it up to Him. You're bringing up something that God does not even remember. He's chosen to put it into the seed to never be remembered again. So you've got to make a choice. If I make a failure, sure, Lord, tell me my failure. I'll make it right in a moment of time, and the very next I'll be a jumping box. I'll just jump up the very next moment, and I'll be on my way to battle that thing that tried to come destroy me. The very thing that you may have opened the door for, after you repent, after the very moment that you ask God to forgive you, it is no longer something you've invited. It now has become the enemy, and God comes and stands with you to defeat that enemy. I cannot tell you how many times the Lord has revealed to me where I failed. And at that moment, I had to have enough faith to believe that He would forgive me. And the very next moment, Him and I were fighting together to destroy that very thing that I had opened the door to. You understand? Amen. When I started going through this with this health issue after Thanksgiving, one of the first things I did, I went before the Lord. And I said, God, what is it? Is there a place I've opened door in my life? The Lord immediately began to reveal to me areas of my failure back through my life. And so now I'm not saying that I'm not sure that opened the door, but it never hurts to shut a door. It never hurts. And so what I did was I sat down and began to write letters. And I wrote letters back to people that I knew that I had failed back through my life. I began to write letters. I even went back to 7 years old. And I wrote one lady a letter where I'd done her wrong when I was about 7, 8, or 10 years old. Man, she wrote me back. I mean, she didn't live here anymore. And one of the hardest struggles I had was find out where these people were and find out their addresses. And then I began, but you talking about the moment I began to put those in the mailbox, I just began to feel such lightness and such freedom. I felt cleaner than I'd ever felt before because God had helped me to go back through my life and to make some wrongs right and to shut those doors. So then immediately God began to move on my behalf. Praise the Lord. All right. The next thing, you got to look deeper. All right. Once you've went to God and the Lord's told you that you've opened the door, then just ask forgiveness and shut that door. Or either God may say, you got to be persistent. This is just a battle. This is just a devil. This is just an enemy that's come to destroy you. Then the next thing is you got to look deeper. You've got to come up with a spiritual reason for that battle. You've got to understand, God's given you spiritual weapons, and those spiritual weapons will be able to take down the enemy. So you've got to look deeper. You've got to look deeper than what that problem is on the outside. Like John 13:7 says, Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." And that's the way a lot of things are. A lot of times, I'm not saying that we have to understand everything. You understand? I'm not saying you have to understand everything. Some things you can't understand now. But God's got to bring you a spiritual focus for the battle you're fighting. You've got to have a spiritual focus, a spiritual promise for the battle you're fighting. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So I've got to begin to allow this battle to be a faith battle. I'm going to walk right on here. All right, why? Why did this thing happen? All right, once you've repented or once you've determined that this is just the devil, then you've got to come up with a strong spiritual answer for your whys. The 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. Now, this is 2 Corinthians. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's got all the answers. when you read the book of 1 Corinthians, that's why that we find the gifts of the Spirit and the things that are listed there, and talking about the tongues and being able to be used by the Lord, the walk of love. All of that's found in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians was just, I believe, about 3 years later, but it's like a different man writing. Because 3 years later, you find a man that's writing a book here that he's been under battle for his life. And so he begins the book of 2 Corinthians explaining why hard things happen to our life. And so that's what he's doing right here. He said, I think you ought to understand about the trouble I've been going through. And then it says, we were crushed and overwhelmed. This is Paul. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our days. Now your theology may say that you will never have another problem. I can't find that. In fact, I can't find that as really a part of my life. But the Bible does promise us victory in every situation. Amen? All right, Paul said here, we were crushed beyond our ability, and we thought we would never live through it. There was moments, Paul's battles were so bad, there was even moments he thought, I won't live through this thing. I'm about to die. I'm not going to be able to make it through it. But then he begins to come up with the right solution in verse 9. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. In fact, in the Amplified Version, he lets you know that's why it had happened. Why did that happen to him? Why was he going through that trouble? It's because he would learn that he could not rely on himself, Jimmy. He had to rely on God. But if he would rely on God, God was able even to raise the dead for the glory of God. Amen? Why are you going through that battle? You need to give the devil a handful. The devil's trying to condemn you. He'll try to keep referring back to a failure or an open door that you had in your life. You've got to stand up in the face of the devil, and you've got to be able to tell him, devil, I'm going through this only far. I'm learning. I can't depend on myself to deliver me, but my confidence is in God that's going to deliver me. Amen? All right, then it says, and he did rescue us. That's what Paul said. When I gained that confidence that it was God that was going, Paul said, I can't handle this, but God can. I can't do this, but God can. I can't work this out, but God can. I can't change him, but God can. I can't change her, but God can. I can't endure this any longer, but God can. Amen? And he said, when I came to that place of confidence, Paul said, he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter, that same chapter, the very next verse, gives an insight into another spiritual concept and being able to walk out of problems. And it said, and you are helping us by praying for us. I want you just to remember that, because we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And Paul said, you're helping me. You help me come out of this thing alive. You help me to come out of this thing by praying for me. Now, in John 9:2, we find we're still talking about what is the spiritual answer? What spiritual answer can we give for what we're going through? Verse 2, it says, Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? See, everybody wants to know why. Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his sins or his parents' sin? See, we always want to bring up the sin question. And God always wants to bring up the forgiveness answer. Amen? So if we sin, we repent, we go on, and we move on in life. But what they asked him, he said, who sinned? Did the sin cause this problem? And notice what Jesus said. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sin. Jesus answered, this happened so that the power of God could be seen. Everybody say, this happened so the power of God could be seen. You've got to get a view of your own situation to where that becomes your answer. When you say, why are your kids going through that? Why are you going through that? You've got to be able to give this answer. The answer is because the power of God is going to be seen in my situation. The power of God is going to be seen. I want you just, some of you that's going through circumstances, I want you just take your little hands and raise them right toward the sky right there. Right now, I want you to say, it's so the power of God. Why am I in this? Why am I facing this? Why am I trying to battle through this? It's so the power of God can be seen in my life. God wanted the power of God seen in my life. Amen. Right now, then, in John chapter 11, when it talks about Lazarus. Now, we were just talking about somebody that they didn't know whether who had committed sin. But they knew that Lazarus had been walking in the place with close to Jesus. Now, and so when Jesus received the, he said, when he received the fact about Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not to end in death. I tell you, it pays attention to listen to what the Lord says. He said, this sickness won't end in death. But did this sickness bring death? It brought death, but he said it's not going to end in death. See, the devil's been trying to tell you that this end is going to be the end. You got to stand up in that devil's face and say, it's not over yet, devil. It's just not over yet. It's just not over. So Jesus' answer was, this sickness is not will not end in death. All right, then 11:40 says, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's what he's talking about when he was talking about Lazarus. He was saying, if you will believe, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. You've got to get that as a reason going on in your life. Why are you going through what you're doing? Because I'm believing I'm going to see the glory of God. This has happened to me so I could see the glory of God. This has happened against me so I could see the glory of God. That's why, amen. Now, John 11:14 says, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory. Why did this thing happen? Still talking about Lazarus. Why did this thing happen? It is to honor God and to promote his glory. Why are you going through what you did? It's to promote God's glory. This is just an opportunity for God's glory to be known. Amen. You've got to come up with a spiritual answer of what you're going through. Amen. All right, the third thing we've got to gain from our spiritual battles that we walk through. Third thing, we've got to take charge of the storm. Now, there's a lot of us that we don't see the importance of taking charge of the storm. And there's a lot of people that just, they live some kind of weak, mediocre kind of life. Now, I'm a person, I am not normally a war horse. Because I tell you what, if you want to get on me, I'll just let you get on me. If you want to talk about me, I'll let you talk about me. I'm not going to stand here and argue with you. I'm not going to stand here and fuss with you. I'm not a fighter like that. I'm a lover. I've chosen to be a lover in life and not a fighter. Now, but because of that, then I have to realize, make a realization that when a storm comes after my life or a storm is against me, somebody's got to take charge. We all usually want Jesus to do that. But Jesus, I tell you what, Jesus is in heaven sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he's already done everything he's going to do to win your victory. Somebody here on earth has got to take charge of that battle. Somebody here on earth has got to take a spiritual position of authority in the midst of that battle. Can you say amen? Luke 8:23 said, and they sailed across the sea, Jesus settled down for a nap, but soon a fierce storm came. I tell you what, you don't have to be doing things wrong for storms to come. You don't have to be doing things wrong for storms to come. You can't open the door and a storm will come. Or you don't have to be doing things wrong for a storm to come. But a fierce storm came down upon Jesus and they were in real danger, the Bible says. And the next verse says, the disciples went and woke him up shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. But notice what Jesus did. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. But notice what Jesus said. When Jesus woke up, this is out of the book of Mark. He said, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the winds and the waves. And he says, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, Mark says, and there was a great calm. But then Jesus turned to look at his disciples. Then he asked, where's your faith? Where's your faith? I was asleep. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Why weren't you standing on the bow of that boat, Jesus said? Why didn't you stand up and take charge of your storm in your life? Why didn't you begin to speak to the storm? But I tell you what, that's the same thing, God. More people lose battles because nobody will stand up and take charge of the storm. If you can just mealy-mouth, I'm telling you what, the devil's not a mealy-mouth person. The devil has got to be put in his place. Somebody's got to take charge in your storm. Somebody's got to take charge in your storm. If you don't have enough, get up and go get it, then you get somebody to. You get somebody that loves you enough. Somebody's got to stand up and they got to take charge in the midst of your storm. Amen. Amen. See, Jesus walked about. Now, and what he said was, well, where's your faith? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this, Peter? Why didn't you do this? You was drowning. Why didn't you stand up and take charge in your life? Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you stand up and take charge in your sickness? Why didn't you stand up and take charge in your money problems? Why didn't you stand up and take a spiritual stance? Why didn't you? Somebody's got to stand up. Because if nobody will stand up, there's nobody that's going to be able to come through with a victory. I don't care whether it's a David, whether it's a Joshua, whether it's a Gideon. In every battle, God has to have somebody that he can use that will stand up and take charge of that battle. God's got to have somebody that he can use. Amen? The following after the Holy Spirit leads to light. What that says is this. God's got to have somebody that's going to follow the Holy Spirit as God begins to bring life into this situation. God's got to have somebody that's going to listen to him that's going to bring life. If you continue doing it the way you've been doing it, you're going to end up dead. But God said, but if you will listen to the Holy Spirit and you begin to take charge, then I'll help you do that. Amen? Amen? All right, the fourth thing is, don't try to do it alone. That was a real training place for me. Don't try to do it alone, because we all feel like we can do it alone. But I'm going to tell you what, God's allowing battles to come into people's life. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You're going to find out it's going to have to be others that God's going to join with you. Now, Jesus himself said, I'm praying for them. This is a principle in the Word of God. It says, John chapter 17, verse 9, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. In every trial, there are those that God's given to you. In every trial, there are those that God's given to you. Somebody says, Pastor, I don't have anybody. I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have anybody to pray with me. I don't have anybody to stand with me. I'm going to tell you what. In every trial, God gives you somebody. God gives those. God, it's a gift of God. Last Sunday morning, standing by along here, a little precious lady came down. And she said, Pastor, she said, I'm going through this horrible trial. I don't know what to do. Well, immediately inside me, I knew I didn't have the answers, but immediately I knew this. God had linked me. God had given me to her. God had given me to her. I knew that. I knew that she was going through a trial, and God had given me to her. Now, sometimes I'm not saying it's not the preacher that you need. Sometimes that might not be the one God wants to use. It may not even be a deacon, the one that God wants to use. But every trial that you're going through, God has given you those that will stand with you and that will believe God with you, that will trust God with you, that God was supernatural. When Jesus was praying this, he said, Father, those you've given to me, he wasn't talking about the 70 that he'd sent out to preach. He wasn't talking about the other 70 he sent out to preach. He wasn't talking about the 5,000 people that he had fed. He wasn't talking about the 4,000 people he fed. He wasn't talking about all of those he'd healed. Jesus was talking about 11 men that had been given to him. And those 11 men, God the Father had given him. And through giving those 11 men to Jesus, the whole world would then be changed. I'm here to tell you, there are those that God had given to you. And it's up to you. You've got to find them. You've got to locate them. Through the trials I've walked through this year, that has been one of my major things, is to find out who the Holy Spirit wanted to link with me. See, because every one of us have to have an Aaron and a Hur. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Every one of us, when we're in a battle, Moses win the battle. As long as Moses would keep his hands extended, that he would win the battle. The moment he would grow tired, his hand would go down. So God sent him Aaron and sent him Hur. And one stayed on one side of his hand and the other stayed on the other. Every one of us need an Aaron and a Hur when we're walking through a battle. What you've got to do, you've got to pray. Now, it may not be a Joshua. I would have thought I would have wanted Joshua there with me. I said, Joshua's strong, man. He's a young guy. He can hold my hand up well. But God said, no, I'm going to use the old rascal, what he said. He said, I'm going to use Aaron, and I'm going to use her. And Moses, they're going to hold your hands up. And they're going to be a team that's going to win this with you for the glory of God. And so during this season this year, I knew that. And that's why in the wee hours of the morning, I would be saying, Lord, who is it? Who is it? And God would identify a group with me through various ways. And it would change all through the battles. But at that moment, God would put a passion in them and a compassion and a unity to stand with me in the midst of that battle. I'm going to tell you what, if you're trying to do it alone, you're probably going to lose. You've got to realize every person has to have Aaron and her. Every person has to have those that stand with them, and it's up there. The fifth thing I want to talk to you about, you got to establish a war room. Now, I gave it that name back several months ago, even before I saw the movie. I was trying to talk this concept that God was teaching me last year. I was talking it to Stephen, and Stephen and I, we was talking about it. And then some way Stephen had found out about the movie War Room. And I was somewhere else, Jimmy, and God moved on Stephen. And he said, Jerry, God just gave me the name. And because I tell Stephen, I said, Stephen, God has to put you in charge, and then God has to get you together. It's important. You don't need to get together all the time. But there are moments that three of you can do more than one of you can do. There are moments that have to be moved. There's mountains that have to be moved. And sometime that mountain, I heard one of the strongest people ever. I heard him say just a few days ago, he said, I had this mountain. I said, I couldn't get the strength to move it. I'm going to tell you what, God's got an Aaron and her that will help you. And so you need to establish a place. And I'm not saying a room. I'm talking about there's got to be a gathering. And there are times in the midst of your battle that you've got to draw those into there with you that God has given to you. And you will join together. Now you don't come together with a little mealy mouth praying. Everybody just pray what you want to pray. That's not the way you do. You're the one that God's given charge of your storm. You've got to stand up in that storm, and these are coming to help you. These are coming to join together with you. They've been gathered by God to help you. And what you've got to do, you've got to stand up in the midst of that. You've got to, no one's going to tote that battle for you. You've got to realize, I've got to tote this battle. But God will give those around you. So you've got to stand up in the midst of that, and you've got to declare the way this thing's going to be won. You've got to use the scripture. You've got to take your sword. You've got to say, here, take this sword. God told me this one will work. Take this sword. God told me this one will work. God said, this one will work. This one will work. And see, that's reading God can't use some people to help you. Because you don't need somebody that's swinging their old Goliath sword. You've got to set up somebody that's going to swing your sword. You've got to have somebody that will join with you. Somebody that will take your sword and go into battle with you and your sword to win that battle for the glory of God. And so you've got to come together. Everybody say a war room. In fact, God so put this in my heart last year. So I've already been to the deacon board many times and we talked about it. We're going to establish a room here at this church. And it's going to be the war room. To where when those are fighting battles of any kind, when you feel that you need to, you can come to the war room and the elders of this church will come and gather with you. That's why the Bible says, any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and they will come together and pray the prayer of faith. That is the position. What it says is, if you hadn't found those that God has joined with you, the elders are here to join with you at any time for the glory of God. And God said, I'll show up and I'll do some glorious things. Amen. There's not a person here that doesn't need that. Let me close on out with this. Number six is, you must make a stand. After you have a war room, you personally, you got to make a stand. If it's your battle, you've got to wrestle. You got to stand. You don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the Bible says. But we wrestle. Everybody say, but we wrestle. You've got to take that thing, you've got to take that bull by the horn, and you've got to know, you've got to wrestle that thing down. There's nobody going to wrestle it down for you. They'll come together, they'll pray with you, they'll join with you, they'll hold your arms up, but nobody's going to carry that bull down but you. You've got to be in that, and then you're going to have that opportunity to do that at 3 o'clock in the morning when the devil wakes you up and when he's trying to make you worry and fret all about what you're going through. You've got to there begin to take that bull by the horns and you've got to wrestle that thing down for the glory of God. You've got to make a stand. I was amazed. I'm so thankful for things God taught me last year. But I'm amazed almost every battle I went through, there was opportunity. There was a time. There was a time that the enemy came and would make a bid for me about that. For example, when I was going through the health issue, when I was pouring blood out of my body and I couldn't get it stopped, but in the midst of that, before the miracle took place in me, had this night, and the devil came to me in that night, and the devil made it sound so good to give up. I mean, he had me, before I knew it, he had convinced me. Now, Elaine had had an episode like that about a year ago. She was fighting through a real issue, and she said the devil came to her. And said the devil spoke to her in such a sweet voice, to where it made heaven sound so sweet, to where that she just almost yielded to that. Said the voice came to her and said, "Why don't you just go on to heaven? Why don't you just come on up here?" And this is what the voice told her. Said, "Why don't you just come on up here? You can pray for your kids. You can do more in heaven for them than you can do here." And Lane said, "I almost gave in." She said, "I almost gave in, but then I realized what God had told me. I realized that God had promised me and what he promised me in my life. And so those promises urged me on." And he said, even though that voice was sweet and even though that voice was compelling, Lane said, "I said no to that voice." She said, "I said no to that voice." And do you know what? The other night, several nights ago, when that enemy came to me and make a bid for me, I began to say no. If you're going to wrestle the devil, you've got to learn how to tell the devil no. You've got to learn to stand up in that thing and say, "Devil, you can't have me. You can't have my kids. You can't have my money. You can't have my body, and you can't have my life." You've got to learn to wrestle. Everybody say, wrestle for the glory of God. And then we close with this. The seventh thing is, you've got to receive it as a New Testament believer. You've got to receive it. You've got a choice to face every battle. I'm amazed how many people face battles as Old Testament believers. They face the battles that they're going through as an Old Testament believer, not as a New Testament believer. An Old Testament believer faces a battle like this. "I lift up my heels, from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord." That's an Old Testament believer. A New Testament believer don't operate like that. The Bible said the secret of the New Testament is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You understand? God used to have to come. He's already in now. Can you say amen? You've got to face that as a New Testament believer. It's not God coming to you. It's God that's in you and God stirring you, trying to bring you into a place to where the Spirit of God can raise you up as God's mighty conqueror in the midst of that situation for the glory of God. You got to face it as a New Testament believer. You got to realize the strength of God is in you. You've just got to find out how to release it. You've got to know that Jesus is in me. I just got to find out how to let him out. You've got to know that God's in me and that he's in me as a mighty river of God, and he wants to flow out of my life. He wants to pour out of me. Everything you will ever need is already right invested inside your spirit. The Bible said, "Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water." It's not me getting God to come from 10,000 miles to here. It's me getting myself in a place where I'm praise and worship, where I can begin to release the power of God into my life for the glory of God. God's already done everything he's going to do to heal us, to deliver us. In fact, Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. Jesus has already completely dethroned and defeated the devil. Jesus already said, "I've given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you." Jesus has already accomplished everything. It's not God coming on us, it's God coming up through us for the glory of God. If anybody's going to stop that storm, you've got to stand up in that storm and you've got to say, "Peace, be still." If anybody's going to stop the devil, it's got to be you. You've got to rise up in the midst of that thing and you got to say, "Devil, no more. I will not allow you to move in my life anymore." Can you say amen? I believe through the New Testament believer. See, Peter and John is on their way and the cripple that was healed, I love the answer. It says, "Silver and gold have I none. But what I have. Notice what he said. What I have. What I have, I can give to you. I'm telling you, what you have, you can give. What you have, you can give. Lord, we just thank you and give you praise for your glory. We just thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. Lord, we want to thank you that this is going to be a really wonderful, different year in all of our lives. Lord, we want to thank you, God, that you're anointing us and empowering us to overcome and come out of things and seek things changed for the glory of God. You're empowering us and helping us. God, and we give you the praise. Somebody stand up. Come on, let's just stand up. We would. This is our close. Let's just stand. If you believe God's going to do some great things in your life, why don't you take those little paws and just slide them right up toward the heaven and just say, Lord, I want to thank you that you're making me aggressive. You're making me strong. You're making me up to a position to receive a greater measure of your glory. God, I'm going to see glory and more glory coming into my life. I'm going to watch the glory of God change my family, change my situation, change my circumstances. I'm going to watch God. I'm just going to watch God. I'm going to watch God. I'm going to watch God. I'm going to watch you this year. This is a great year. Come on, say that to me. This is a great year. This is the year, Lord, that you meant to be a year like none other. This is to be the greatest year I've ever lived. This is the year that you've been waiting to bless me and to help me. This is the year, Lord, that you've been waiting to be able to rise up in my life and to take charge of things for the glory of God. This is the year that the devil has cast out of my life, to cast out of my finances, cast out of my health, cast out of my life. This is the year that you, God, will receive glory in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.